The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Amen. So good to be back for day two of the conference. I hope you had a good rest. Last night, the Holy Spirit woke me up at 4 a.m. this morning and instructed me to do some university work. I wanted to say to the Holy Spirit, no, you do some university work. So my day began a long time ago. I hope he wasn't listening to that last statement. And looking forward to day two of building bridges to the future. I'm excited about this conference because the danger in the prophetic is pointing into the future without connecting it to the present. Would we be that moved today if we heard of a spirit of revival coming on the Twin Cities in 15, 20 years? Ultimately, once we work through the emotional excitement, would that mean anything to us if we were not personally connected to what the Holy Spirit was going to do 15 or 20 years down the line? The true prophetic always connects the people of God to what the Lord is saying, whether it's for the present or the future. Last night we looked at the church. We considered one of the bridges the church will go over to reach her fulfillment and achieve her divine destiny in Christ Jesus. We're continuing on the theme of the church this morning. Tonight and tomorrow morning, we will go in another direction where it will all be about you and I. It will all be about what the future will look like for you and I as we go through cycles of transformation that determines the level, the role, the function, the divine purpose we will have in the future. I used to say from pulpits, you and I have a responsibility to allow God to be God in our lives, to cooperate with God. And I use the democratic language in the process. Now I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced God needs our permission to be God in our lives. I'm no longer convinced that we can vote God out. I'm no longer convinced that we really have much of a say in what we do and what we do not do in this life, because as the men and women of God, we only make our choices under the governance of His choices for our lives. If we make an alternative choice, well, at one level, that's okay, because it's another training ground in terms of what not to do before we discover what to do. And we've all been there. We've all gone around that mountain maybe several times. One thing I am absolutely sure of this morning, as I consider the kingdom of heaven over Elk River and over this church, that the kingdom is like an upper room over this church and over the city. It's not there for decorative purposes, and it's not there to bring forth a symbolic language of what heaven will look like when we go into the sweet by and by. The kingdom of heaven is the upper room over Living Waters Church, over Elk River, over the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. Because it's the upper room that we know as the kingdom of heaven that brings the reality of heaven to the earth. The vehicle God always chooses is the Word of God. Not necessarily a preached word, but it often includes that. But more a demonstration of the plans and purposes of God in any specific generation as led by the Holy Spirit. So we begin today in a very secure place, a strong place. Every time I feel my flesh twitch, I imagine God is looking at me like an irate schoolmaster saying, could do better, see me after class. The truth is, God knows what our flesh looks like. He lived amongst us for a season. He understands our weakness and wants to help us in our weakness, not punish us because of our weakness. Our default position as believers is always a place of strength. If a believer is destroying their lives through sin, their default position will ultimately be the strength of God. If a believer is walking generally, as most of us do, some days one step forward, two steps back, then our default position remains the strength of God. As we begin our journey together today, we're in a strong place. Be convinced you are in a strong place. You may feel fragile in your soul. You may feel harassed in your circumstances. But you are in a strong place. And we rejoice in God for that truth. This morning we're looking at prophets and the coming moves of God. This is a prophetic house. It's a privilege, joy, and honor to be the in-house prophet of Living Waters Church. It's been such a positive journey over 15 years. I have been a member of Living Waters for 10 years, and I have been the in-house prophet now for 2 years. It's been an absolutely wonderful journey. It's a safe place to preach a message like this, prophets and the coming moves of God. It's important to recognize that prophets are now beginning to move into a season of deeper maturation. Many New Testament prophets that have been on the church landscape for the last 20, 25 years have really gone through it in their lives. That in their weakness they have discovered the strength of God, and in their weakness they have encountered the grace of God. Revelation truth never comes cheaply. In charismatic language, it was all about jamming a scripture in your knower. Remember, we were told we had knowers in our spirit. So you jam a scripture in there long enough, and somewhere along the line, God is obliged to make that revelation. Do you remember that superficial perspective? It actually worked. That's the annoying thing about it. It actually worked. But it was not the end of the sentence. It was the beginning of the sentence. True revelation is the word of God forming his character in us, that we are profoundly changed for eternity and then can minister out of that to others. Ministry from God's perspective is never hit or miss. From a human perspective, we pray that God turns up, and we're not surprised when he doesn't. Inwardly, we think, well, I didn't think anything was going to happen anyway. But the revelatory world by which the kingdom of God operates is translated into our lives. And the church that we know and love right now is in a process of being prepared for future moves of God. Future moves of God need to be recognized and acknowledged in the plural, not in the singular sense. There are many moves of God that are on standby for the entire 21st century. I hope I'm around till at least the middle of the century. I want to be alive and see the purposes of God fulfilled in my generation. But as a word of caution before we move into the heartland of this brief message this morning, we need to be aware of apocalyptic atmospheres. It's such an apocalyptic season. We're seeing the hand of God shaking corruption out of Ukraine. Ukraine is a nation very close to my heart. Last Sunday, I walked around Kiev in Ukraine speaking to protesters that were dressed in military garb and looked extremely scary. But they were living in a structured and sophisticated society, a society within a society. Within 2 days, the war broke out again in Kiev. And now the protesters have the entire running of the city. God is shaking corruption out of the Ukraine. God is establishing righteousness structures in the Ukraine that can be a regional influence that reaches even into the heartland of Russia. So we're seeing lots of apocalyptic events taking place before our eyes. In all likelihood, the Antichrist is alive at this time. The danger with going Antichrist spotting is they usually die on you, and it becomes an exercise in futility. Many people have been accused of being the Antichrist over the years. Henry Kissinger, John F. Kennedy, even the Pope from time to time is nominated as the Antichrist. And in the UK, someone wrote a book identifying Prince Charles as the Antichrist. Goodness, have we got to that stage? Are we at that level already? So it's an exercise in futility, but in reality, I would say he's alive. In reality, demonic forces are working to put in place unrighteousness as a societal structure to raise up a one-world government. The danger is we give the devil far too much credit. Globalization is not about establishing a one-world government. Globalization is all about the gospel being preached in all the nations of the earth, and then the end shall come. Yeah, the enemy is corrupting God's systems and structures, but he's the great imitator. All he can do is imitate God and corrupt godly systems and structures. So we need to be a people of balance. We need to be a people of discernment. We are living in a vacuum presently regarding the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in many what I would call present truth churches. We are living clearly in between moves of God, but the Holy Spirit is still very alive and active in all of our lives. The Holy Spirit is not on sabbatical at this time because we're living in between two moves of God. I believe the body of Christ needs to address something that's rather depressing. That is, household names in the body of Christ uttering forth sensationalistic prophecies that never come to pass. Profiling revival in regions, profiling political overhaul in regions, naming names and specifics that never, ever come to pass. In that dynamic, other voices jump into the equation. And out of that multitude of voices, there is a spirit of confusion released into the body of Christ. I think for you and I right now, as we continue to be taught and led by the Holy Spirit, our primary focus should be just to do what we are called to do. To do what we have in our hearts to do. And avoid the over-sensationalistic, and to avoid the false triumphalism that always seems to be trying to make an inroad to the mainstream body of Christ. We should know that coming moves of God are ultimately revelation of God's plans and purposes. We tend to think of moves of the Holy Spirit as a revival, that revival is coming to the church. Technically speaking, revival is not even a biblical word. You can't find the word revival in the scriptures. I'm not against it. I'm for it. I think it's a working term that we are all comfortable with. The truth is, God is always in revival. And all we do is catch who God is, and then that becomes real in our communities. To be where we are at right now and accurately transition as a church is not an easy experience. I believe before we see the fulfillment of faith, we need to live in the agony of faith. To be carrying something of the future in us. To be a people that see the fulfillment of what we are carrying in our spirit. demands that we pay the price of faith in our own lives. This sense of agony that Habakkuk demonstrated in Habakkuk 1 verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Is the darkest expression of grace we can encounter upon the earth. Do you know that grace has a dark expression as well as an expression of light? We all know the feeling when God seems to have emigrated and no longer is listening to us. When our prayer life becomes an act of futility. The darkness of God is a precursor to you and I moving into the light of God. For when the darkness of God comes into our lives, we are emptied of self. When we're crying that prayer, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? The Holy Spirit is intimately involved with that heart cry. And the challenge to you and I this morning in terms of what we're carrying as part of a community is to be willing to go through the processes of God, that we will be in the future people that we have never been before. This is a power of transformation. Are you willing to go through the processes so you will become a person you've never been before? For 31 years now, I've been trying to be a good Christian. You'd think by now I got the message. I can't do it. If I try and be good, I usually end up behaving appallingly. I should have got the message by now. The Holy Spirit is God's good spirit within me. The journey of transformation is a very different dynamic. The Apostle Peter denied Jesus to a little slip of a girl about the age of my daughter Sarah, challenged Peter and says, I saw you with the Nazarite. I saw you with him. And there was Peter doing his impersonation of the funky chicken. Buck, 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 buck. I wasn't there, I wasn't there, I wasn't there. And he said it in Aramaic and also in Greek so that all translations would have their future perspectives. The reality is, when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room in the day of Pentecost, Peter stepped forward and became a person he had never been before. That's the power of transformation. That's the power of a transformative lifestyle. So in this season of waiting, we are looking to the Lord to do something in our lives that he has never done before. In our charismatic arrogance, historically, we thought we were ready for revival. We thought we were ready for a move of God. Here we are, Lord, why are you waiting? Yeah. Now it's the other way around. It's, Lord, here we are. Lord, keep working in us. Keep working in us. Take your time, Lord. Increase the darkness in my life if that's what it takes for me to become a person I have never been before. God's darkness is really his light in an introverted context. It's the inside of God's light. It's that part of us that's already been crucified in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago. But the reality of that darkness is a precursor to birthing future moves of God. I believe as a church, we need to be at a higher level of testing corporate prophecy. This is a safe house to preach this message in. Nothing ever changes. Every prophecy is partial, progressive, and conditional. I believe a prophetic community should never go way out there on a single prophecy, but dialogue and bring a corporate perspective on a single prophecy. Challenge a personal prophecy. Inject theology and biblical perspectives into prophecy and create a contemporary context. Put into the equation the political condition of the nation, the economic condition of the nation, the international standing of the nation. That we will have an amplified version of a prophecy given even by a good quality prophetic voice. In truth, we will engage with the Lord directly in terms of coming moves of the Holy Spirit. I know in Living Waters, this journey has already begun. The journey always begins with the word of the Lord. When the word of the Lord turns up in our human spirits, then a birthing process begins. We become forebearers of the next move of God. In our minds, we have an oversimplistic thought that one day God will simply manifest and we will jump into it and be the vehicle by which God will bring a move of His Holy Spirit to a generation. In technical terms, it's not as simple as that. We think in straight lines with fixed points in the future. And we move towards that prophetically and usually get very discouraged along the way. The reality is God works in our lives in seasons and develops our lives in seasons. So it takes away the straight line vision and the markers in the future and challenges us to ask ourselves, I was given this word. Or Living Waters was given this word. What's God doing in this cycle? What's God doing in this season? What's God developing in me now? We will look at this in more detail this evening. This is a little teaser, a little appetizer for this evening. But at a corporate level, when the word of the Lord comes unto you and I, it births and we become forebearers of the next move of God. As a community, we need to understand the language of the word of the Lord that we can proclaim the word of the Lord in an intercessory capacity, but also in a day-by-day prayer life when we engage as a leadership or in small groups. We can have a 5 or 10 minute mechanism to proclaim that which we believe to be truly the word of the Lord regarding coming moves of God. Proclamation always leads to procreation. There's a sense of being pregnant with something. That's the reality of carrying a coming move of God. Many women here are mothers. I'm looking through the congregation, and there are lots of mothers in the congregation. My wife and I have a 10-year-old daughter, Sarah. But you know what? I've never been physically pregnant with a child. My wife has, and it's a unique gender experience. But my understanding is a woman begins to know when she's pregnant. There's a set of symptoms, and there's a inward process that is confirmed in the doctor's surgery. We need to be like that. The danger with spiritual living is we can move into delusional thinking very quickly. The stronger our ego, the greater the determination we have to be something or somebody will lead us into phantom pregnancies in the Holy Spirit. We will be mimicking the symptoms and conditions in a soul, but not a spirit. But when we go before a spiritual doctor who listens and discerns and prays, there will be that devastating moment when we discover we're not carrying a future move of God at all. It might be devastating at one level, but it will be a mighty relief at another level. There's nothing more painful in this life than I'm aware of, than being self-deceived and kidding ourselves on. It's the most painful mental and emotional experience we can go through. The tragedy of living in that is everybody else knows that we're self-deceived and kidding ourselves on. We are often the last to find out. But we're looking for the real this morning. Amen. And the real is always worked through in community. Revelation is conceived in the human spirit, but truth is established in community. It's impossible for a person to live in truth unless he or she is willing to be part of a community. So proclamation leads to procreation, and then a pushing forward. A time of carrying a coming move of God is a time of great warfare. It's a time of intense battle. The enemy always wants you and I to quit. He extends that invitation to us weekly, if not daily. Quit, quit, quit. It's the famous favorite hymn of the devil. Quit, quit, and quit. And he sings it in lots of different languages. The truth is, we press in and push forward simply on the strength the Lord provides. Because we need to learn that incubating a coming move of God is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, thank you, Bob, being glorified exclusively in our lives. It's not like we're cogs in a machine turning around. You and I are very precious to the Lord this morning. The Lord loves us. He cares for us. You and I are very, very precious in his sight. But the chief object of man, according to the Protestant catechism, is to glorify God. And what a place to get to in our spirits, especially if lots of accolades come your way and lots of people praise your talents and giftings, to receive that with humility, but go home and have a jiggity jig in your lounge and say, Lord, you have been glorified in my life today. That's a fulfilled life. That's an exciting life. So in the pushing forward, there is a moment of release of the creative power of God. It goes with every revival. It goes with every move of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord writes the ticket. Revival comes in God's terms. Moves of the Holy Spirit are carried out upon the face of the earth on God's terms and activated by his conditions. So coming moves of God need to be something that comes out of a mind and heart that's totally submitted to the Lord. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 assures us that prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the essence of true prophecy. Men and women, holy men and women, speaking as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit perspective, a Christ-centered faith, and a Heavenly Father overseeing and active in all of the machinations of the ministry of the Trinity within the body of Christ. Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. This sounds like a general instruction. It was actually apostolic dynamism. For Paul knew what the word of the Lord carried in terms of God's intentionality. I mean, he was encouraging the church in Thessalonica to pray that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. He knew that there was a move of the Holy Spirit undergirding that prayer and bringing it to pass. Psalm 147, verse 15. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. So we have the technical language. All of this will come about through the body of Christ being impregnated by the word of the Lord. But it originates in heaven. To be willing to be a carrier, a habitation of God, means there's a great price to pay in our own lives. The mixture of living in a Western democracy and following a theocratic God results in dramatic change. The Lord does not want you and I to live democratically Monday through Saturday and enter into a theocratic perspective, a dominion of God perspective on a Sunday. In essence, that's the battle of our discipleship in the United States of America and the Western nations of the earth. For you and I alive in this timeline, we're here because we're in a specific place. In a season of the Lord. I was born in 1959 in Glasgow, Scotland. I enjoyed 6 weeks of being a 50s child. When I was 7 weeks old, the 50s became the 60s. The Beatles' hair was starting to get longer and they were about to become famous 2 years later. Lots of things were going on in and around the time of my natural birth. And my spiritual birth kicked in the year 1983. I was 23 by that stage, and I'd taken up a chunk of time on my own personal timeline. You can fill in the detail in your own timeline. But one thing we have in common today is we're all alive on the 22nd of February 2014, and we're here. No matter when we were born into this world physically, we're all in the same place today. Some of us will be alive longer than others, and that timeline will come to an end in a specific month, year, day, and time. But when we pass away and exit this life, the plans and purposes of God will continue upon the face of the earth. The power of serving an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, is it's not dependent upon you and I. The older I get, I believe more and more in God's sovereignty. I'm so grateful that God is in control. I'm so grateful that God does move in the reign of his kingdom and changes people, communities, nations, and even the international community. So as we live in the seasons of the Lord, we need to be willing to hear, I believe in this season we're living in presently, strong words of forewarning. I believe that our expectancy levels will be more about the Lord bringing forth a word of forewarning than a word ushering in the presence of God to release us into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. More and more the church is charged by Almighty God to be a watchman in her community, city, nation, and in the nations of the earth. Personally, I believe we need to be on red alert regarding the false. Jesus promised at the end of the age, false prophets would arise. We need to have a workable knowledge of what a false prophet looks like and what a false prophet will try and do in our midst. Living in an era of false apostles and false Christs. So we need to have a heart that's sober enough to receive a strong word of forewarning if that's what the Lord wants to bring. I'm going to finish this message in round about 12 minutes. Ish. So hang on in there. This cold and snowy February morning. It might be cold outside, but it's lovely and warm in here. So as we wind the message down, as the teaching plane is on descent and about to land in the runway, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to summarize some thoughts in our mind that we have an immediate perspective as we move into the next phase of our day together. Very quickly, we're going to look at six consequences of a prophet's ministry regarding coming moves of God. The good news in this winding down portion of the message is you will recognize immediately it's all happening now. Thank goodness. I would not want to stand here today and point to the future without connecting the future to the present. You will be very encouraged over the next few minutes as you identify hallmarks of grace in your own life. Say, this is happening. This is happening in me. Number one, prophets bring understanding to the church. At this hour, we're being delivered from a childlike Christianity, a formula-driven faith, and perhaps a faulty image of God, being nothing other than a big Santa Claus in the sky, who's obsessed with our healing and our prosperity. The view of God is broadening out. Prophets are bringing understanding to the church, an understanding of who God is, an understanding of his wonderful grace, his loving kindness, his deep commitment to you and I. Last night we discovered that upon the face of the earth, there are two institutions. The church operates as an institution of God's saving grace. It's only in the church you can hear a language that explains that explains in detail the way of salvation. If you go to City Hall this morning and cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" there's a very good chance security guards will be summoned immediately. Yet outside the institution of the church, we live in a nation where cities are an expression of God's common grace. Yes, the devil's in cities. His twisted value systems are in operation within cities. But our faith is not a devil-focused faith. Truth be told, the book of Revelation is not obsessed about the Antichrist. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we gain understanding, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. Point number two, prophets in this season are bringing forth an increase of faith. We all know Romans 10:17. I would be surprised if there was anybody here this morning that could not quote that Bible verse off by heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Prophets are increasing faith in the spirits of God's people. I believe the number one deliverance taking place in many believers' hearts at this hour is the believers being delivered from hopelessness. Many believers are living a private agony at this time because they've lost all hope. They're in church, they're in prayer, they're in the word, they listen to teaching, they pray in the spirit, they are ticking all of the charismatic boxes, good people with a good heart, living in a cycle of hopelessness that nothing seems to break. When faith comes, hopelessness will dissipate. I don't quite understand why there's an endemic of hopelessness in the body of Christ, but I understand the nature of the word of the Lord that births faith in human spirits. Number three, prophets are bringing teaching instruction to the body of Christ at this hour. I believe a wrong focus in previous seasons was on the power of God. Let's believe God for more power. Show your power, Lord. And we sang lots of songs along those lines, which wasn't entirely wrong. But if we look at the casualty list of a charismatic generation that pursued the power of God at the cost of being willing to go through Christ's formation in our characters, then we see there was something faulty and dysfunctional in a previous generation. prophets presently are teaching the body of Christ sobriety. Prophets are removing faith formulas from the body of Christ that take believers into a dead-end Christianity. Prophets are speaking from a revelatory base that provides sobriety of spirit, but also puts in place arrows pointing to what the Lord will do in the future. Number four, prophets are slowly beginning to engage in the restoration of power in the body of Christ. What was wrong in the previous generation when we sought power at the expense of character? Simply because in that season, man was at the center. Most of us were nothing before we knew Jesus. The great trap for any believer coming out of an ordinary background is believing the lie of the enemy. Now you can be somebody. Now you can be something. Many of us have wrestled with that flesh trap. And I think if we were to move into a time of absolute openness and transparency, we would all be shocked by what we all had to share. You would be shocked at some of the thoughts and views I held of myself in the 1980s. God had to lead me onto the mission field to massacre me in 1987 to break the power of pride, immaturity, and indigenous stupidity in my own soul. God has had to do a big work in my life over 31 years to kill the idiot in me. That's for your benefit, incidentally, as well as my wife's benefit. The truth is, if we're looking for the power of God in the future in the church, it will not appear in the sky. The Holy Spirit will not come under the door of the church like a cloud, and we'll say, yabba dabba do, the Holy Spirit is moving in power. True power in the church will come through an apostolic and prophetic structure that releases the healing power of Christ Jesus, the miraculous power of Christ Jesus, 24/7. The gospel has not lost any of its power. Man's version of the gospel was never that powerful in the first instance, and the church's version of the gospel has been hit and miss. That's why we say things like, God sometimes answers prayer and sometimes he doesn't. That's why we have a theology that supports the view sometimes God does not fulfill his purpose through his promises in believers' lives for mysterious reasons. I think we've needed a homespun theology to hold our souls together when there's been an absence of the power of God from so many spheres of human experience in church life and an absence of the power of God in a broader society. I believe the church that will run with and be a habitation of coming moves of God will be built on the revelation of the apostle and prophet with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. That the ministry of Jesus, the power of Jesus, will be a permanent expression of his grace. Number five, the prophet stirs intensive prayer in this season. I'm not an intercessor by nature or inclination. If I accurately intercede for somebody, it's usually an accident at my end. It's something I've fallen over because the Holy Spirit's got in the way of my prayer life again. I'm not really an intercessor by nature, but the truth is when a prophet imparts revelation, it can stir the hearts of the intercessors. I know this is a house bathed in intercession. I'm looking at some of you now. I recognize some of you now. This house is much an intercessory house as it is a prophetic house. And watch what begins to stir. Watch for the new letters of a spiritual alphabet the Lord is beginning to form through intercessory prayer, and allow those letters to become spiritual words. Allow the spiritual words to become building blocks of grace that are placed on the wall of Living Waters Church. Number six, and this is very important, prophets in this season are helping churches discern and measure what is of God. I don't believe for a moment that God wants Living Waters to be able to discern what's going on in every nation, in every city, and in every circumstance upon the face of the earth. God gives us a mandate that's measurable. And our mandate is measurable because it's designed by the Lord to bear fruit. There is an international component to Living Waters Church. And as the Lord increases your holy space, so more people, ministry, and resources will be part of that. As a community, when we can accurately discern what is of God, then we can accurately discern what is of God in our own lives. We need to have the wisdom to recognize when God is pruning the church, when God is pruning us. It's foolishness to pray, Lord, expand your kingdom in my life, when the Lord is pruning our lives for future, deeper purpose. To know God is to understand his ways, and to understand his ways engages us in Holy Spirit discernment. It's more of an art than a science. It's a process of deduction. It's a process of induction. If Dave comes to me and says, Alan, I believe the Lord has been saying this to the church for 5 years, I can gently encourage Pastor Dave to enter into a process of induction. Jump into it, Dave, and see what the Lord does. If it begins to bear fruit, then that's exciting. That's a time of divine discovery. But if nothing is really happening, the process of induction can come to an end and the process of deduction can begin all over again. The truth is, all of us on our own are not that smart spiritually. We really need one another. We need to be there to be willing to listen to one another, discern each other's hearts, and if necessary, challenge one another. To be a people of discernment, to identify the false very, very quickly. So wind this down. I feel led by the Holy Spirit to make this statement. The enemy will no doubt try and release false ministers into this fellowship. It's about the only way he can bring it down that I'm aware of, the character of men and women of God in this house is so highly developed that the enemy has a hard job corrupting many of the saints in Living Waters Church. If he can't corrupt from within, he will try and bring his wicked servants from outwith. Keep at the front of your mind, if anyone turns up here proclaiming a great ministry calling and tremendous ministry gifting, ask them the question, who has ordained you? Who has set you in place? Who has released you apostolically to be a blessing to this church and other churches in Elk River? If the answer is nobody, please, please, please tell Bob, Dave, or one of the elders immediately. Be willing to be even wrong in this situation, but being proactive as a responsible member of the church, rather than letting things run a little while, just to see. Behind the scenes, false ministers can do a lot of damage. You're dealing with highly skilled, manipulative, destructive individuals that ultimately are only interested in their own welfare. That's the only concern of their mind and heart. So, here we are at 2014. I was praising Jesus in 1983. Yeah, my heart was full of Jesus, but my head was still full of Lennon and McCartney in those days. I went to church in a leather jacket and pinstriped denims. Hair that sat on my shoulders. I lived in permanent fashion crisis. Well, I hope the Lord has delivered that spirit from me over the years. Now the denims are no longer pinstriped and they're Levi's. If you want to preach well, wear Levi's. They're advertised in the Bible. A whole tribe wore Levi's. But that's another story. But in this moment of reflection, allow the Holy Spirit to settle you down inside. You've heard a lot of information. But I believe to a person, the Lord wants to give you an immediate takeaway. Something you can work on instantly as you leave this building this morning. So in this holy moment, what's coming to the front of your mind? What's the conviction of your heart? What's your Holy Spirit takeaway? May that be the first of many mustard seeds of faith that builds a wall in your spirit and soul that leads you forward as part of a corporate expression of a future move of God. As I follow the Lord into my own destiny, I think the Lord has lots of fun with me. He shakes me up one side and down the other side. I have to admit a lot of the time, I don't quite know anymore where a prophet fits in the nation of Scotland. But you know what? It's a forward journey and it's an upward journey. We don't need to have all the answers to progress in Christ Jesus. In fact, He is the answer. And the upward call is a progressive call that can ultimately be measured in the fact we know ourselves better because we know God better. We know what not to do and what to leave alone. We know what to designate into the history books of our lives, as well as taking hold of that we only have a glimpse of. Something that won't quite leave us alone in our spirit. A vision, an impression, a sense of joy that remains inexplicable. That's proof we're a work in progress as we move forward into God's progressive purposes and plans in our generation. As we continually exercise the relevance of Christ Jesus in our daily lives. It's an exciting journey to be part of. It's an exciting journey to be in. The Lord bless you as I hand the meeting back to Pastor Dave.